All right. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Howdy, everyone.
Is everyone here is all right? Hopefully.
If you came here via the first tweet I sent out, correction, this is not Great Gianna Sisters. I don't know why I just typed that for some reason.
Wow, my webcam's kind of dark
it's a
tonight.
great name. I thought about having my lights down low for Halloween or something, but I thought it looked stupid, so I
Well,
did.
I think I clicked the thing off because I was getting really bad bloom on something like a couple days ago. Like it was like, it was coming off the light too much, and I think it was a little click thing, toggle switch called right light, and I turned it off. So I think that's why it's
Oh
happening, I guess.
yeah,
But you know what? We'll just pretend like it's part of, like the Halloween spirit. I
I
kind of went back and forth today between whether or not I wanted to actually play anything from this episode or if I wanted to play kind of a horror-themed game. And
Yeah,
then
I was
I realized
Oh,
that this
go.
game has some Halloween bonus levels in it.
Well, I'm a little jealous you'll be getting to play this because just before the episode released, I bought Gianna Sisters and Ori and the Blind Forest, even though I don't have an Xbox One, and I probably won't have anything to play it on until. I'm probably going to hold off until the Scorpio comes out, right? I mean, it just makes sense at this point. But I feel like that's like a game that I'm definitely gonna want to play,
Right.
and I'm going to for sure at some point get a machine to play it on. It's just like that seems like a game that, who knows how many are printed, And it just seemed like a good thing to go ahead and get because it looks amazing.
Yes. You know, I wanted to play it for a long time, and then I finally sat down to play it for this episode. And I just can't believe how good it looks. In motion, it's incredible.
And I'm surprised too. Like I really hadn't looked into it at all. I'm surprised too to see like what a kind of actiony looking game it is. Like apparently it's like from your description, it's kind of like, kind of hardcore platformy. Which I kind of assumed it was going to be, one of these, nice, pleasant, I don't know. I sort of, an atmospheric sort of indie game that's like not going to be, not going to put too many difficult obstacles in your path or something.
Right.
So I was kind of surprised to see that. I mean, that's very Vanillaware, right? Not only beautiful, but, tough as nails.
Right. Yeah. It's weird to call it an indie game. It was the developer's first game, I guess. But I don't know how much money like Microsoft put into it themselves. But I don't know. I don't know. Like it's just an incredible looking game.
But I also got Gianna when I played a little bit of Gianna while I was at your house the other week, and
Right.
it was, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah,
So.
it's just really simple, and that's what
But
I like about it.
it's got a good hook to it.
Right.
And people were complaining about your camera background, your face being too dark, even though you said that you'll let it be dark in Halloween spirit.
Right. I see Hella's World is asking if we have, he mentioned this in the comments for the video, if we own Pure Solar on the Dreamcast, and I do own it, yes. Although I am showing the HD version on there, just
Is
for, it was just easier
that
for me to capture.
someone else left a comment asking what the game after Spelunky in the intro was, and is that Pure Solar?
Yes, the
Okay,
RPG.
yeah,
Yeah, hang on a
I
second.
thought
Let me see
so.
if I can. Let me just see if I can fix my webcam really quick. I think that the webcam would be better if I just. Well, that's not what I'm expecting to happen. I mean, I could turn down the light kind of behind me, as someone said. I think it was Kirk Goodman said that. Should I try to turn on the light? Or doesn't that really matter? It's not even, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just my stupid face.
I mean, I've got mine on set manually, so adjusting, I don't know about if yours is that way, because adjusting the lights wouldn't change anything in that case.
Right. I think that if I mess around with it, it's just going to mess up the stream. It's just going to
let's not worry about it. Halloween. It's for Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. So we're in the, like we've been discussing, and I don't know if it's going to happen this week or whatever, but we're going to transition from like OBS to like the OBS studio, and we want to create like an official like overlay for the stream. Mm-hmm. To get like a consistent look between both of our streams.
And, you know, just from week to week, because sometimes we play games with, you know, their different sizes or whatever, and this will make like a template that makes it easier to size stuff correctly.
Right.
But yeah.
It's asking me to sign into the PlayStation Network. I don't know why I'm signed out. I just updated my firmware.
Well, then there shouldn't be any reason to log in.
I know. I mean, I switched my PS4 over to, or my PlayStation Network account over to the two-level authentication.
Oh, okay.
Let me see what happens here. And you have to like put in a code.
Like, can you not even just turn on the system simply?
No, I mean I can just play it. Yeah, okay. So I'm like in right now. All right, it's fine.
Like, but would you have to do the two-level authentication every time you turn on the system?
No. It generates a unique code for each system, and you only have to put it in once.
Oh, okay.
So if another system tries to sign in, you need to, like, generate another code for that system. So I'm going to go ahead and start the game. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see it.
So there is several chapters you can choose from at the very beginning. It kind of, like, it gives all of your chapters available to you at the very beginning. I mean, I kind of showed you this, that there's four different chapters and you unlock the levels. You get the first level right away and then you unlock the rest as you go.
I can't get
Weird. Look at that. Are you not watching the stream on the
It's at 144p and it's just been for the past minute or two it's been trying to load and it can't.
Really? You should do it because that's pretty cool. Like, it must like read the date on my system because like the background's like all Halloween-y and there's pumpkins all over the place.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I finally got to load.
Well, it's just like in that intro. Let me back up. You can see the title screen is different.
Well, I saw the intro with the pumpkins going on.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, right?
This game is like super smooth, but for some reason, like when you're selecting the level, it's like all like sluggish. It's weird. Well, like the gameplay is like crazy smooth.
So I'm gonna start. I finished the first chapter. So I'm gonna go to the second chapter.
Small self-contained stories almost.
I think they all lead towards to you rescuing your sister.
Right, but you can start in any of those.
You can start at the first level of any of them. Yes, but yeah, they are. I mean, you could start with like the last world if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool. So everything has kind of a like a pumpkin-y look to it. It's pretty neat.
Wait, like the gate, the level, the levels
like,
do?
Not the actual levels themselves, but like the loading screen is like kind of pumpkin colored. All right, so I might be a little out of practice for this because I was. Oh, that's right. I can.
Yeah, because you record your footage for this longer
ago. A long time ago. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, we only came up with the idea for the episode, like, it was fairly recent.
It was like almost right after we finished the Limited Run Games episode.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like, I didn't really know what kind of reaction that people would give to it, and it seems pretty good so far.
Yeah, seems well received.
People are not used to us, like, covering, like, newer stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of a... It's looking at new stuff with sort of, you know, old-fashioned-y, you know, being physical media and all. And two, you know, a lot of the games covered are kind of, you know, retro-ish.
Yes, very much so.
Things that I think would appeal to your average retro gamer anyway.
I think so. I mean, it's funny the kind of, like, changes that happened to the episode, because originally we were only going to do three PS4. Each. Yeah, and only PS4, but we were...
Right. When you realize that Gravity Rush was also on Xbox One...
Geometry
Wars. I don't know why it's a Gravity Rush. Gravity Rush is not on Xbox One. Very good game, though. Geometry Wars was also on Xbox One. You're like, oh, well, you know, we should include Xbox One. And so you bought the Xbox One version of Duke Nukem 3D so you could, you know, have a other than Ori, have a Dreamcast version to show.
Right. And I, from what I'm understanding, the PS4 version does not have the issues that I had with the Xbox One version.
So do you kind of regret it now? Or?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But maybe I'll get the other one eventually down the road. I mean, we'll see. Oh. Jeez. Yeah, I'm definitely out of practice. But...
Yeah, we both managed to get Shantae, and I bought the soundtracks too. So I spent way too much money. I cannot, even though, you know, Vert releases, like, all of his soundtracks for, like, you know, pay what you want. But,
right.
And I've done that already, but it's still officially licensed CD. Like, I really like owning CD soundtracks, so it's kind of dumb, but I bought all that crap anyway because I really like the Shantae games.
Yeah, I felt like that was the best one that they've...
Yeah, you said it was like the most wish fulfilling limited run that
they've done so far. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they sold out. I mean, the first batch, I guess, was like 30 minutes, and the second batch was like 10 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, well, I saw someone say that they only got Pirate's Curse because it's the only good one, which I strongly disagree. I actually like Risky's Revenge more than Pirate's Curse. And I think that is the bigger deal. Like, if I could only pick one of the two, I would have gotten just Risky's Revenge because... you know, there's the 3DS version, physical version of Pirate's Curse releasing soon anyway, so.
I can't believe I just survived that. But the 3DS version's already out. Did you say it's releasing soon?
I thought it was releasing next month.
No, it's out.
Oh, okay. Oh, it released, like, late October, right?
Yes.
Sometime. Like a week or two ago, I guess. Yeah, I guess I forgot it was already out. I assume that's still available. I mean, there's part of me that kind of wants that, but...
I heard it has something exclusive. I don't know what, though, exactly it was.
Mm.
Yeah, I kind of... Like, if for the right price, I'd get it, I think.
It's kind of interesting you know, I played some of the Wii U version to record some footage for you. I can't remember if it was for this episode or, oh, it must have been for the limited run episode. I record some Wii U Pirate's Curse because I played on 3DS because it released on 3DS first and I wanted to play it day one. And it was interesting to see how they handle like rotation and stuff, because they, you know, everything is, you know, pixelated just like the 3DS version, but stuff that rotates, it's pixelated, but, you know, it's you know, got smooth rotation. It's not like the whole screen is pixelated, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, rather than rendering the effects at, you know, a 240p equivalent, I know it's not really 240p that the 3DS is, but, you know, it's got that pixel art look. Instead of rendering the whole screen at 3DS resolution, it's, you know, it's 1080p with pixels just laid in it.
Oh, okay. It's pretty neat. I was just like screwing around. I don't know why I just did that. Luckily, you have unlimited lives in this.
Have we played original Giant Sisters on Commodore 64? No, we have not. But we got the footage of the first game that was used in the episode is courtesy our friend the 8-bit Duke.
Yeah, he used his RetroPie to get it for us. Jeez, why is this?
Which is you know kind of nice because you know you can. It would be nice to like record games like from an external source rather than from, you know, an emulator on your computer or the game itself running on the computer that's doing the recording. I think because like for example, it was the craziest thing to me. When I record some footage of Amnesia for you. The Dark Descent. That's an oldish game, and it was at 1080p, trying to capture 1080p, run the game at 1080p. Like the game was running smooth, but the recording was dropping frames like crazy.
Really?
Yeah, and I eventually had to run the game in 720p and record it in 720p for it to be smooth.
That's why I have that second PC that has a thing so I can just record from that.
Maybe I'll do that whenever I get around to doing a new build. I'll just kind of keep this one for capturing stuff off of a PC. Because it's going to be a whole new build when I do get to it. It's not a super high priority right now though. Earlier this year I thought it was, but this computer is doing fine enough for me right now.
Yeah,
there's other things I'd rather spend money on.
Yep, I'm the same way.
Yeah, but your computer is a little better off than mine is right now.
I don't know, like it's dropping some frames. Like I'm getting frames dropped on stuff that I don't think you do. Like sometimes my just games in general have been dropping frames.
Mm.
And like I had a real problem with out of sync audio with a lot of my clips that I recorded for this episode. So, and because of that, I'm kind of thinking about getting a different, like a new capture card.
Mm. I saw Yanni in the chat asked me what size my PVM next to my TV. It was a 13-incher. If you're referring to specifically what you saw in the behind the scenes episode, it was a 13-incher. But now I have a 20-inch or well 19-inch next to it that does 480p. It's the 20L5, and I still have the other one. I brought it upstairs to my studio so I can kind of like hook stuff
up.
Oh,
you're 13? Oh, you did?
So if I need to like do any shooting on it there or something, like if I need like something light and easy to move or something, you know, and or to just hook something up quickly to.
Right.
It'll be convenient.
Yeah, I know that you were. I knew that you were thinking about it, but I didn't know that you actually went through with it or not.
Well, I mean, right now it's just kind of sitting on the floor there. Like, I need to kind of redo how I have some of my extra junk in there organized, because it's really not organized at all.
I don't know if this wall jump is like a new thing for this chapter, if I could always do it. If it's new, that's pretty cool.
Kevin B says, should get a missed FPGA to do old computer games, darn near real hardware. I never thought of that. What kind of computer systems is missed equipped to emulate? Or not, I don't guess emulate is really the word, but... That would be a really interesting way to like play like DOS games or whatever.
Yes, that would be like a great way to do it. And how much are they?
I looked it up when I was working on the AVS episode. Let me see.
Because I think that sounds awesome.
You know what? I think. Are they? Is this the same people who make the new Hydra SCART switcher?
Lotharic or something like that.
Lotharic, yeah, it is.
Are they just the ones that are selling it, or they make it?
They might make it.
Well,
they might make or.
Or at least a discussion worth having.
Maybe they're the ones that just put in the shell, but it's 200 euros.
Okay, so it's not like scary.
No, that's an awesome idea. Like I would love to play DOS games on something like that. Can you run games off of like a CD doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I have CDs. Like, if that's possible, that'd be amazing. Maybe we should contact those guys.
Yes, we are going to try out the Hydra switcher, and you know, since that's kind of a new thing, like we would kind of like to prioritize the SCART switchers episode relatively soon, if at all possible. We're like talking about like what our episode priorities are for the rest of the year, because you know it's coming down to the wire here. I am like scared to death of Game Boy right now.
You shouldn't be that scared. It's just more making it than anything else at this point, because
I'm scared because the script is relatively close to finished, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's close to finished, but it's definitely the vast majority. But I'm scared of it because I feel like I basically need to have it done before Thanksgiving for my own peace of mind, if nothing else. Right.
Right.
And two, I want to like, you know, right after the week after Thanksgiving, Final Fantasy 15 comes out, and it's been my long-standing plan to just like chill and think about absolutely nothing else for like a week when that comes out.
Oh jeez, this is like, how is this only this far into the game? I have no idea, like, how I just survived that.
I mean, it's just, like, a cool-looking platformer. There's just, like, a lot of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, like you say, at the end of the day, it's still, like, it's simple.
Yeah.
So Kevin B says the NES does all the Ataris, Commodores, Amigas, Amstrad, all kinds of stuff. 20 retro computers, 10 consoles in total. Can you have those like installed on it and just switch simply between them? Or can you only have one installed at a time?
Yeah, it's, that would be...
Like I would seriously love to play, like, DOS games on that over using DOSBox.
Yeah. Oh, that was it? Man.
Anyone playing Dragon Quest Builders? I don't have it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. I
think there's a Target buy one get one free that like starts tomorrow. Or buy two get one free. That.
I wonder if it's going to be part of that. I looked at a partial list, and I was like, no. I just spent so much money yesterday. I don't even need to be looking at this.
Right. I'm kind of the same way.
Especially because like. I'm planning to buy a PS4 Pro.
Yeah, you have a pre-order and everything.
I shouldn't, but I'm doing it.
Well, yeah. It can only benefit the show in the way that you want to do something on it, don't you?
Especially. Yeah, I do. Like, I don't even have a 4K TV yet, or not even capable of capturing 4K. I don't even think there are like, you know, consumer 4K capture cards yet. There will be pretty soon, though, I bet.
Yeah, well, here I am thinking about getting a capture card that I just want to get one that's not USB 3. I died.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with that, but... I mean, because it's working just fine for me right now.
Right.
But, I don't know. But, you know, I'm looking into getting a 4K TV next year, and... right now I'm kind of just really curious about the benefits for using it at 1080p. And if, you know, I think, you know, after using it, if I think that there's something interesting to that, you know, I might even do like a little episode on like that.
Right.
Not promising anything on that right now. It kind of just depends on, you know. You know, it's something that I'm considering, but I really have no idea until I actually use it.
This level is like so long. I don't understand why it's so long. Ah, come on.
But yeah, I if anyone saw my periscopes from yesterday, I had an interesting day yesterday. So I went game shopping mainly because I assumed one of my local stores would have an original model Game Boy, which they didn't. Because I forgot that my cousin's Game Boy, which is the one that I have now. Has vertical lines in it. And I didn't realize that was a relatively easily fixable problem. And so I started looking for a Game Boy locally. And when I periscoped, people said, oh, that's pretty easy. And then the store that I was hoping to find one in said, oh, that's really easy. You just have to, like, heat up the ribbon cable underneath the screen.
Mm-hmm.
With a soldering iron, which I'd never used a soldering iron before, but I was like, you know what? Like maybe this is the thing that I should try that on. Cause it's like, you know, the system is useless as it is right now. And, so I went to Lowe's, you know, this is following buying like a whole bunch of retro games that I had no intention of buying when I started the day. So I should have known I'm tempting fate going to retro stores, right?
Yeah.
So I went to Lowe's and bought a $25 soldering iron, and I looked up online how to do it, and it's like, okay, this is pretty easy. Like, the thing that I like about this is, like, a first soldering project, or soldering iron project. This is not really soldering. You're not, you know, flowing solder and making joints or anything like that. You're just warming stuff up. So it was a good thing to do, but the whole and I shot it too, so that, you know, I have B-roll to use for the episode, but it took me 2 hours. Like, I can't believe it took me so long to actually do it, like, between opening it, you know, and finally getting all the lines out. But, like, it took me a while to figure out the technique. Once I pressed down on the soldering iron, it came with this, like, little plastic tool. And, like, after a while, I started, like, applying pressure with the tool, like, immediately after taking the iron off. And that, like, almost immediately fixed the last few lines that I was really struggling to get connected. And it's perfect now. It's, like, the craziest thing that it works that easy.
How cool is it that that's how all it took?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe it actually, like, worked. And that, like, the lines didn't start, like, bleeding into one another or something. Like, I don't know what kind of fail safes there are to stop that from happening, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so I got that fixed. So that was good. I also picked up a few Game Boy games that I was hoping to get before the episode so that I could feature a little more in the episode.
Yeah, you got Phantasy Star.
This old console I did not, because, you know, I mean, here's the thing. This is baby's first soldering iron for me. You know, I didn't want to spend a lot of money. You know, I looked at it as, I know the soldering iron I'm buying right now is not going to be, like, the thing to use long term if I really want to get serious about this. Like, I'm not planning to anytime soon, if ever, start, like, you know, doing work, like, on the motherboards of the consoles, you know, making serious soldering joints. Like, that's not my plan right now. And I didn't want to spend more money on a soldering iron that would do that sort of thing. Like, right now, I just wanted to do the simple thing with the Game Boy. And beyond that, the only thing I really want to do with it is replace batteries. That's, like, it. Like, I want to pay people money to do it right, because I don't have a steady hand. I could never be a surgeon, you know. I'm very clumsy and uncoordinated, and I just wanted to buy a little, you know, simple but good looking soldering iron. It even says on the back of the box, it says, says video game modifications. I'm like, okay, well, I'll buy this one. I didn't want to do research. I knew that I wasn't buying anything special.
Right.
You know?
It was an experiment. And, it, you know, like, it's just like, you know, I was able to do something similar with, like, removing the mod chip from my PS1 and putting it into another. There's, like, three wires, and, like, I managed to, like, screw that up. but I luckily was able to put it back into the system I removed it from, and it worked.
Yeah. See, this old console, like I say, if I absolutely would, you know, be looking into getting something much more appropriate for that purposes if I ever wanted to go into that route. But for now, I thought, like, buying the best soldering iron was way overkill for me right now. Especially considering I just bought a bunch of retro games yesterday, and I'm planning to buy a PS4 Pro later this month, and money is, like, ugh. But I'm doing it anyway.
Whoa. Yep. You know, and plus we got MAGFest coming up in 2 months. they got to worry about. And that didn't stop me. I did not stream it. I had a pretty good pickup or purchase on Friday night.
Yeah. No Megaton games, but you spent like $75.
Yes, on $75 on a lot of games.
Like, you like doubled your Game Boy collection. Not that it took a lot to double your Game Boy collection.
No, but I mean, like, I got a lot of games for like a dollar. You know, I got, you know, like Wario Land or Wario.
You got Wario Land 1 and 2.
Yeah. Or no. I got, actually, you know, I got. Yes. Yeah, 1 and 2. So all I need is 3 now because I already have 4.
Yeah, and I got 3 yesterday myself, which, you know, I used to have. You know what's funny, you know, I've always known this, but it really just struck me yesterday for some reason. I was going through all the Game Boy Advance games that they had at the Grid, which is the Goodwill operated store. Like, I think Game Boy might have like the highest ratio of crap games to good games of like any system.
Like more crap games than anything else?
Like, I don't know if sheer numbers of crap games, but like just like absolute throwaway, you know, Nickelodeon license and stuff like that.
I see.
Like, I mean, you know, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't judge, but I mean, you know, we make assumptions about licensed games, and there is a lot of stuff that, you know, you just look at and you think that's garbage. But hey, that was also kind of the point of this week's episode, is like, hey, there's a lot of, you know, you don't normally look at budget games, but here's a bunch of budget games that are actually good.
Are something that have been like, there wasn't really any retail budget games, so to speak, of like last generation that I can think of.
Right. That was kind of a thing that went away, like, after,
I mean,
like,
it was pretty prominent in
PS2. Like, right. PS1 PS2 had a lot of budget games, but there weren't a lot. Like, the only one on PS2 that I can think of that was really notable was like Katamari.
Yeah, but then the second one came out and that was like more, it cost more. I mean, no, I mean, the Red Star is an excellent budget game on the PS2.
I have no idea if it was a budget game in Japan. I don't know if they just like lowered the price here to, you know, have any hope of selling such a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But I'll tell you, you know, it worked like really well.
Yeah.
Probably better than they ever thought it would.
Yeah.
Jeez. I gotta admit, this is like a lot harder than the first like set of levels were.
You're moving along.
Well, the levels are so much longer.
Game Boy Advance just has like a lot. Like a lot.
Oh, Game Boy Advance, not just like Game Boy.
No, I feel like Game Boy Advance has more just. It just feels like a deeper well of crap to go through to find anything interesting on Game Boy Advance compared to Game Boy. Which I feel is interesting because I feel like Game Boy Advance in the grand scheme of things was a little bit short-lived.
Yeah.
You know, Nintendo claimed that, you know, oh, the DS is not replacing the...
Right, the third Game Boy pillar Advance, or whatever.
The third pillar, but... The truth is, they were, you know, taking a gamble with the DS and wanted to see if this would be where they wanted to focus their handheld efforts. And obviously, you know, it took a little time for it to really catch on, I think. But once it did, you know, it became, you know, a great product for them. So then Game Boy Advance just kind of quietly died. And, you know, it came out in 2001 and the DS came out in 2004. So
that's so weird to think about. You know, speaking of which, you know what's crazy? Like, the PS3 is going to be 10 years old in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then the Wii is going to be 10 years old like a week after that.
And isn't that crazy to think that the Wii is almost two generations ago for Nintendo?
Yeah.
Like, how nuts is that?
It's nuts. It is so, like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a second, 2006, like, nobody's really talking about, you know, like, 10 years, you know? Because what's weird is that, you know, I remember how, like, all these games series are celebrating, like, their 25th anniversary or 30th anniversary and stuff, and it's just weird What?
The importer, I don't know if he's just... If he's just saying the GBA has a lot of games, or if he is actually has data saying that the GBA has the biggest library of games on any console or handheld. If that is true, that is nuts and would explain why there's so much crap. But really, like, I feel like the PS1 would be a more likely candidate for the biggest library. Just because it's, like, so cheap to produce, or was so cheap to produce games for.
That's so weird to think about, because it feels like it didn't have, like, that many, really. I mean, because the games I own for the system are not very many.
Yeah, I mean, there's not, like, a lot of priorities on it for me, either.
Right.
Adam Zay says the GBA has 1,074 games.
What? That's crazy.
Well, yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, someone said, hold on, let me scroll up. Someone said, I think there were games regularly published for it up through 2007, which, you know, sounds about right, but... Oh, Adam Zay says the PS2 had 2,501 games.
Okay. Well, I mean, that seems plausible.
Which is more, PS1 or PS2? I swear one of those systems has to have the most games ever.
Yeah, I can imagine that the PS2 has the most games ever.
I mean, if you consider, like... Japan exclusive games too. I feel like surely the PS1 would have more. There's like a lot of like budget games on PS1 in Japan. Like you've got like some random like Mahjong PS1 game, right? Or I don't know if it's Mahjong.
Yeah, it was given to me. It was like a gift.
Adam Zay says PlayStation 1 has 2,413 games, and Blade Blur says PS2 has at least 2,500. So it sounds like they're both relatively tied, close to tied.
How do I do this?
Retro Robbie is saying PS2 games were made from like 99 through 2013 or so, which sounds probably about right. Like, I want to say the last one was Final Fantasy XI, Secrets of Adalon, which 2013 I think sounds about right for that. Which, I mean, that was just an expansion, but still, I think that was, like, the final PS2 disc. Which is so, I mean, so crazy to think about. I mean, it was just, you know, such a tremendously successful system. And it's so interesting, too, to think about how long-lived after their day systems like PS1, PS2, I think especially PS2 were. And then you look at, you know, obviously... last generation was very successful, especially the Xbox 360, and of course the PS3 greatly caught up later. And of course was always more popular in Japan and I think Europe. But it's just so interesting how I don't think anyone really predicted how ready people were for a new generation, because so there was so much cross-platform development that was initiated early on in the current console generation, because I think people thought that people were going to be sticking with their PS3 or their Xbox 360. And by and large, people moved on, and it was a surprisingly short amount of time before like PS4 versions were vastly outselling previous generation versions.
Right.
I mean, in fact, it wasn't that long ago that WayForward announced that they were canceling the PS3 version, and I think there was a 360 version planned as well originally. They were canceling those versions of Shantae Half Genie Hero because it was just such an incredibly small number of people at this point who would have preferred to have them on those systems. But it's interesting to think about, right? People moved on from last generation very quickly, but in some previous generations, it has not been so quick. And I think the transition has traditionally been a little slower in Japan because, I mean, there were Super Nintendo games released in like 2000 in Japan.
Yeah, in 2000. I mean, that's at Goodwill yesterday. They had a copy of Madden 98, and I almost got it because, you know, like, it's pretty crazy that there's a Madden game.
Madden 98 on Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you think it would be worth to get just because it's such a late game?
I mean, I have no idea what the last U.S. release for the Super Nintendo is. That does anyone know? That would be interesting. I know that the last NES was Warriors Woods, right? I mean, it's got to be because it's the only one to have a ESRB. So I was second guessing whether it might be the, it might just be the only one to have last one from Nintendo, but I don't think that's true. The last one, the last Super Nintendo from, Yoshi's Island was 95, October 95. N64 came out in 96, and then Kirby's Dream Land 3 was the last Super Nintendo game published by Nintendo in North America, but I guess it obviously was not the last game if there's a Madden 98, which is nuts.
I'm kind of lost here. I don't know what to do here. I don't know if I screwed it up or if it's...
Frogger was the last SNES and Genesis game? That's pretty interesting.
Frogger?
Yeah, well, when was it released here?
I guess that does kill me.
Wow, Rockman and Fort came out in 2000 in Japan?
Yeah, it makes sense. You should get the Game Boy Advance version of that.
I want to get the Super Famicom version. I used to have the Game Boy Advance version.
Weird. I don't know what just happened. I wonder if it was like screwed up or something. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm just gonna move on.
Reggie B. Cable asks, "Do you know of any rare or valuable sports titles? There are a few on Sega CD." That's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, isn't the last, you know what, my friend Ricky has the last, it's a basketball game that's, the last Sega CD game released.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty expensive game. It's a, but he found it for like $2 at a Goodwill. It's like Cross Court or something like that. Hopefully somebody courtside, maybe.
NBA but I know courtside. That, I know that at the very least, the non-kiosk version of Fire Emblem Thracia 776 was released in Japan in 2000.
Right. Yeah, you told me about that before. It's just really crazy that.
Yeah. That's also supposed to be like by far the hardest game in the series, which is kind of tough to imagine because Radiant Dawn is really hard.
That's the Wii one, right?
Yeah, it's really hard. I have not yet played Fire Emblem Fates, though, but I hear that Conquest is pretty hard.
But that's... You're supposed to know that going in, right? That's the whole point.
Conquest is supposed to be like more like hardcore, you know, Fire Emblem traditionalist sort of thing, and Birthright is more supposed to be for like, you know, people who, you know, want to make characters smooch and have babies. I mean that's
so annoyed I didn't get the limited edition because that has all the DLC in both games on one, right?
Yeah.
That's so silly that like that's the only way you can get it.
It's like a whole third game.
Yeah.
Like I don't. I mean, I assume there's got to be a lot of overlap. With that one compared to the other, but I think you have to beat at least one of them to even be able to play that version. What's it called? Revelation or something like that? I think.
Right. It doesn't matter to me. I just like what I want is the. I just want to have both of them on a cartridge, so I don't have to buy two versions.
Right, well, I mean, yeah, but it's not just both. It's
the DLC, kind of too.
All three modes, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's practically a third game, I think, but I haven't...
Which is, I mean, that's what I want.
Yeah, well, I'm a pretty big Fire Emblem fan, so
I got it right away. I just want the game. I don't want any of the extras that came with the stuff. Didn't you sell like the pouch or something like that?
Yeah, I sold the 3DS pouch for like $20. I really needed some extra money for a camera lens at the time, so I was selling a lot of stuff.
And that's another thing. Just like looking at the vibrancy of your B-roll versus like mine in this new episode, you know, just like it just can further cements. I guess mine has a different look to it.
Yeah, I did some pretty heavy color correction on mine though. I actually kind of punched the contrast in my color correction a little more than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have been part of it. Like, I just kind of push the black levels in a lot more than I normally do. I
guess that's not where I'm supposed to go.
In part because I kind of overexposed a little bit, actually.
Oh, well. I guess, like, it definitely looks different in mine, though. I mean, mine is a little bit flatter look to it.
Mm-hmm. But I shot in a flat color profile.
Yeah, I do, too. Always, but...
Have I played Stella Glow? No, I've heard the name, but I don't know anything about it. Ryoka says, I like Gianna Sisters on the DS the most. What is Gianna Sisters on
there,
the DS?
Yeah, there is a DS game.
I don't know about that. Is it?
And this is supposed like to, this is a made? Sequel to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it pretty similar?
I have no idea. I honestly read about it and I didn't like... do any further research because we're trying to make these segments so short enough and
so tight.
I didn't have time to really get into it.
We couldn't like talk about everything. That's interesting. It's also on Steam as Gianna 2D and on Android. Huh. I'm going to look this up right now.
Yeah, let's see how good it looks.
Because,
what?
So this is the PC version I'm looking at here. see. Interesting. Like the first level is very much the, you know, the Mario 1 layout.
Oh, really?
Like the main character has pretty good animation. Oh, it looks like they collect an item to change between the two sisters. The redheaded one can break blocks. Or maybe it's just one sister like gain an upgrade, I don't know.
Right, because, you know, you're the blonde sister, and when she's in the other world, she has red hair.
Right. The graphics are very flash-looking.
Yeah. Speaking of, like flash-looking, have you seen any pictures of that Wonder Boy 1 remake that came out? It's on PC right now. I think it's coming out.
Oh, no.
And it looks like totally like a Flash game.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but like I think there's a certain look associated with like kind of a low grade sort of Flash game, you know.
Right.
What do you expect? Like most Flash games, especially, you know, back in the day were made by, you know, one person. So, I mean, they have to cut corners somewhere. Or at least in most cases they do. You know, I'm sure that was a great way for a lot of people to learn how to make a game. But,
right.
You know, so I'm not necessarily knocking it. But I'm going to look up and see what the DS version looks like. Because I feel like it could benefit from having less of this Flash HD sort of look. Here's a long play of the DS version. Oh, it actually looks really similar.
Yeah, that's not too surprising to me.
I mean, I'm surprised how close it looks to the so-called HD version. Very similar graphics style.
Oh, that's probably the end right there. I like stopped just short of an enemy.
I mean, it looks like a fine but generic platform. It definitely has much more of that, you know, blatant Mario ripoff look.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the game you're playing, like, kind of does its own thing.
Yeah.
It just, like, looks really good. Like, you know, it almost has, like, a little bit of Sonic in it, I feel. Like, sort of like when you, like, shoot around the fireball and, so, you know, when you, like, shoot the fireball, like, through, like, the narrow corridors and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Died 18 times.
Would you say that this is the best of the games that you reviewed?
That I reviewed? No, Ori is better than this game.
Oh yeah, I forgot Ori.
Out of everything else, like this is probably my second favorite.
Yeah,
but of all of the episodes in or all the games in the episode, I think that Assault Suit Lanos is the best game.
Yeah. I think I agree. Well, I would say
just because it appeals to my sensibilities more.
Right. I guess that would kind of be the case with me because I feel like if you were trying to be like objective about it, I feel like Song of the Deep is probably the best game in the episode, but like it didn't resonate with me as much as like Assault Suit Lanos did.
Mm-hmm.
I would say but here's the thing: I bought Song of the Deep on the day it came out. I bought Assault Suit Leinos. I played through Assault Suit Leinos before we ever had the idea to do this episode. And so I didn't even record it the first time I played it. So of the games that I bought four games specifically for this episode, and I kind of didn't really do any research on them. I just was like, I'm going to buy this one. I just bought them.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of how it was, and I was the same way, too. I mean, there's certain ones that I knew that I was familiar with the name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Doki Tori, I was definitely familiar with the name.
I love the idea of going into something, like, completely blind, and considering these were relatively inexpensive, and we were doing an episode on it, like, I felt like it was a good opportunity to, you know, just experiment and just see totally blind... You know, no expectations, no preconceived notions, just go into it.
Because that's definitely not something, you know, that we really ever do.
Right, and I just thought, you know, that'd be fun. That'd be fun, just try it. Give a game a fair shot that you wouldn't normally give a fair shot.
Right.
So of those games, the four that I bought were The Last Tinker, Among the Sleep, Nero, and... What am I forgetting? What am I forgetting?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was. I, you know, as time went on, like, I started to, like, forget what games were even in the episode.
I know, because it's, like, so many. What was the other game?
Oh, Lumo.
Oh, Lumo. yeah, so of those four, Lumo, Among the Sleep, Nero, and Last Tinker, Among the Sleep was by far my favorite of those four.
Really?
Oh, by far, yeah.
I want to play it. Like, I was...
Did you think it would be something else?
I didn't really know. I don't know.
Like, Nero would definitely be my least favorite of the ones I looked at.
Right.
Easily. I mean, it's just not my thing. Last Tinker was fine, you know. I could have lived without playing it, but it was fine. It was nice. And Lumo, same way, you know. Could have skipped it, but it was all right. It wasn't something that, like, really spoke to me, but it's just so interesting because, like, I was, like, if you go to the website for Lumo, like, they've got, like, a bunch of, like, review quotes. I think it got reviewed a lot more by, like, European publications and stuff like that. Because,
right. And they got a Vita version there recently, too.
Really? Yeah, that game is obviously made for a European audience because it taps into their nostalgia more so than really anywhere else.
Right.
And, you know, like, I saw some reviews that were like, this is the easiest 10 I've ever given. I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, it's so lovingly crafted and full of nods to, you know, this and that. You're like, oh, ha, ha, you know, I see what you did there. And, like, all that stuff, you know, obviously just flew totally over my head. It was a good game, but it wasn't...
It seemed like it has a really good soundtrack.
It's
very unassuming, like a very kind of, you know, it's not in your... In your ear holes.
No.
But it's...
Which, you know, I kind of prefer, like, you know, soundtracks that really call attention to themselves.
Yeah.
I like a nice, bold soundtrack.
Right.
But it... During gameplay, there was, like, the music was very... Very in the background.
Yeah.
The title screen has kind of an interesting track. You know, it's got that lady that says, "Hello," like near the beginning of the track.
Yeah, you can hear in the back of the music.
You can hear it in the video, and it's so funny because that, like, I didn't expect that when I heard it, and like the way that
she speaks Japanese, like later on too, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, but like the way that hello sounds, like it's just a very like real, like their sort of sound.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think you feel like it sounds like it's like in the room
you
with you?
Feel like you like yeah, it kind of like made me jump a little bit because it almost sounds like someone there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Maybe people will get that from the video too when they hear it, like in
yeah,
background.
Yeah, a little startle.
Yeah, I saw somebody mention they want a physical copy of Freedom Planet. That's like my most wanted physical copy of anything. I think that with a PS4 version coming out, it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen.
I think it will too. Yeah, someone, you know, another one of my absolute most wanted is Hardcore Uprising, which will never happen. But I just thought it was funny because someone actually left a comment saying, like, oh, I would easily pay $20 or $30 for a Hardcore Uprising. I'm like, man, I think I'd let myself be ripped off on that one because I really want that. Like, that game was so fun because you recorded, or you had me record some footage for it, you know, when you were for just general B-roll of
for
download games for Limited Run. I don't even know if you used the clip. I think you did.
I did, yeah. Did you specifically talk about it?
Man, I didn't want to stop playing. Like, it's such a fun game. Like, it's definitely different from other Contra games, but I think it absolutely carries the same spirit. Like, it is just a fun game. Like, it's so good. And like, it's the only PlayStation Plus freebie that I've like actually finished. Like I liked it enough to do that.
And that we played that co-op.
We did
on the backlogger stream.
You know, there's a funny story about that too, because in the end. We beat the final boss and there was this big explosion and I was like holding on to the helicopter at the end and you weren't,
right? Because I missed the jump
and you,
onto the helicopter.
You didn't get the trophy for beating the game.
Yeah,
did you even see the credits?
Maybe, I don't know. I would later go on and beat the game myself.
No, I think we did it together.
Well, I did a second run where I like was able to like max out.
Oh, you
character.
Played the whole game again. Okay, yeah. Got it.
That'd be awesome if that was
you done a solo run of it.
Yeah. Sounds... I mean, I found a way to like kind of grind your character. It made it a lot easier.
You played as the guy with like the crazy pompadour, right?
Yeah. It's a great game. It's like Contra-like in so many ways, but also like un-Contra-like in a lot of ways.
It does its own thing. Like, it's definitely got its own style. And, you know, the whole fact that you like buy upgrades is different. But it's so obvious though that it carries so much Contra DNA with it. It's so good.
Yeah. You know, there's a mode in this game that is like play through the whole game with one life.
Well, forget that.
Yeah, I will never do that in like a million years. I wonder how many people have done it.
Well, on PS4, you can see like trophy rarity.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if that's even a trophy, though.
It should be. Actually, it shouldn't be because that'd be really hard to get.
I love how the water looks in this.
So there's four worlds, it looks like. Though I wonder if it like unlocks another when you finish.
I don't know. Ugh, come on. I don't know. There's also bonus levels. I'm making some good progress. So it's a long game. I'm surprised that these levels are as long as they are.
There's like 8 levels in each section, right?
Yeah. No, it kind of changes. Like the first one only has 6. This one seems to have 8, and I think the next one has less.
You know, Blade Blur, interesting thing about the Duke Nukem being exclusive to GameStop. Corey learned about that and Geometry Wars 3 at the same time. Actually, it was actually while I was there. And the information that you read said that it's like suggested that it was a GameStop exclusive.
The Geometry Wars was, yeah.
Yeah, and then,
but then I saw it at Target.
You saw it at Target for the Xbox One. I don't think we even knew there was an Xbox One version.
Right. And not only that, but another big thing is that... I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
Another big thing about Geometry Wars 3.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was going to say. I had like a specific point about it, and it just like... I lost it.
GameStop, not GameStop. Did Duke Nukem have that Game Trust logo?
No, because they didn't do anything with it. I think the Game Trust is
exclusively sold there.
Right. It actually says it on there. It says, "Oh, what I was going to say about Geometry Wars is that it's not on Amazon. So it appears to be like brick and mortar exclusive."
Exclusive. Or you could probably get it on like their website.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, you can get it like through like on like Target.com, which is where it's like where I link to it. But it is
that's
not.
So interesting.
It's if you do a search on Amazon, it's not on there. But Duke Nukem, it full on says GameStop exclusive, like right on the like I said on the receipt when I got it, and also says it like right on the website. Want to buy it.
Speaking of Duke, why Xbox One over PS4? But just because we, like we said earlier in the concept of the episode, we were just talking about PS4 games, because really where this came from was we were looking at games on Amazon, and then we saw like these $20 games, and then we're like, look at all these other $20 games. We're like, there's a whole lot. There's just a ton of these.
Right.
And it's like this PS4 thing predominantly.
Yeah, the episode started out as PS4 only because we thought it was only PS4 stuff. And then
is to a point, like all this Zoe Desco and Rising Star stuff, like they're the ones that are like mostly making this happen.
Right.
But there's others, and there are a few, you know, so we're like, you know, well, let's not forget Xbox One here, so.
Right, and, you know, then I was like, oh, I could cover Ori. And also, you know, like, that's the reason I did Duke for it, is because I didn't want it to seem like we were, like, super in favor. We were favoring one over the other.
Right. And two, it was a good opportunity to talk about Ori.
Yes.
Which you've kind of wanted to do anyway.
I guess, you know, like, I didn't really expect to talk about it in this context. Jeez.
Right, but you were really excited about the physical copy for it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I pre-ordered that, like, the day that I saw it was released. This game is pretty tough. In a very good way, though. I think you're gonna like it. You're gonna
like what?
You're gonna get a good challenge out of playing through this.
But it's nice that, you know, that there's not like super high stakes of, you know, limited lives and stuff.
Right, right. But I mean, so like if Duke is does anybody out there have the PS4 version of Duke? Does it have a patch on it?
Blade Blur says, you mentioned all the games were under $20 and there are games Are there games published by Zoe Desk or Rising Star that were above that?
Yes. Oh, there is.
Which ones? Did Rising Star do Origami?
Yeah. No, they didn't. That's somebody else. But there are. I mean, I can't think of what they were off the top of my head. But there definitely is. Jesus.
I feel like I wouldn't be surprised for Rising Star to do that, but any from Zoe Desk specifically?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, I'm going to go on Amazon now and look it up. Look up Zoe Desk. You know, when we first started writing the script, we both thought it was Zoe Desk.
Yeah.
And then you noticed the E. Zoe Desk. Jeez, oh, there's a game called Rias for PS4.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's $30. I've heard of it. I forget what kind of game it is. Control four mighty giants, each with unique abilities. Terraform the planet to your will. Experiment with different terrain types. Kind of looks like a world-building god game sort of thing. Probably not too much my thing, but interesting. Let's see. And there's like so many more $20 games. And I think an important point to make is that the games that we covered were released at $20. Like, because yes. I feel like...
Because one of the ones we were going to do is the Republic.
Mm-hmm. And you found out it was $25, right?
Yes.
Well, and I think the reason we discovered that, because when we went to GameStop, we got Geometry Wars while I was there.
And you're like, oh, it's $24 or $21 there.
Yeah, it was like used for like $21. I'm like, what? So we did some research and found that it was released at $25. But there's so many more that, you know, we could possibly cover in a future episode. And there's more coming. Like, there was there's like this cool sort of almost LucasArtsy looking adventure game.
Yeah, Deponia.
Yeah.
Looks really cool. That's going to be 20 bucks. And that's from somebody else. It's like Nordic Games or something like that.
Here's something that's already out called Ziggurat for PS4.
Yeah, that's a $20 one, though, I think, right?
Here's, this is interesting. Tower of Guns, which is a game I have heard of.
It has a steelbook or something.
This is by Zoe Desk for the Xbox One. I'm actually looking at the European, because it's got Peggy on it. And it says $82.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if that's like gotten rare. But that maybe it's only a European release, I guess. And so they have released some stuff on Xbox One. I said I needed to order Gianna Sisters before the episode came out, and it says only 9 left in stock on Amazon. So you might want to go order it now. If you don't mind, you can go to the video description and click through our Amazon links and, you know, help support us instead of just going to Amazon directly. Only 9 left. Order them now. Let's see. There's something on PS4 called by Zoe Desk called Adam's Venture Origins.
Yeah.
And that's $30. I don't know what kind of game that is. Oh, there's a PC DVD UK import for Among the Sleep.
Yeah, that's another one we're going to do for the series, is like games that are available in import physical versions. You know, somebody mm-hmm. said in the comments there's a bunch of hang on, I was just focusing on this. Come on. The bosses are pretty tough in this too. They only take 3 hits.
Oh, I see a boss. Let me click on the thing so I can see. That looks cool.
But there's a lot more games that they got in Europe that we have never gotten here, like in physical editions.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
some like Asian editions. You know, like a good one to show would be like the Okami.
Okami's like, I think, the quintessential example of that. Which I don't have. I really need to get that. I don't think it's like crazy expensive or anything.
It might be, actually.
I looked it up not that long ago. I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah, look up Okami, because I'm pretty certain that one is actually kind of up there in price now.
Here's, this is weird. There's, I guess, is this even out? Yeah, it says in stock. Weird. There's a game called Prison Architect. On PS4, it's $20.
I see somebody mentioned Brothers. That was one I had it in my hand at about last weekend, and I said, I could get this.
I hear it's really. I've always heard that's a good game.
Yeah,
I played a demo of it, and it seemed pretty good. But there's this game called Prison Architect, and it says buy sold out. That's what it says on Amazon. Buy sold out. But the box says Introversion Software, and it's got a rating pending on it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird. But so I can't really figure out who is selling this game. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, who are the publishers in the budget PS4 game, you know?
Yeah.
Here's some, it looks like there's a series called The Escapists. It looks like they have PEGI ratings on them, though.
Yeah.
And it says the publisher is Team 17, it looks like. And it's got like a bunch of like pixel characters on the cover. And there's another one that's like The Escapist, The Walking Dead edition. It looks like it's this overhead, like Zelda perspective Walking Dead game with pixel characters.
Weird.
Yeah. This is like bizarre. Like seriously, like this is just something that kind of blows my mind about the episode, and why I want us to do this episode and go down this rabbit hole. Cause it's just like, it blows my mind that there are so many PS4 games that that just released with no fanfare, never heard of. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, most of them maybe are kind of bad, but it's still kind of like, it's just interesting, like, that there's so many games releasing these days that are just kind of under the radar, whether they're digital or otherwise.
No, Jesus. Come on. I beat the boss, by the way. That boss was way easier than the first boss.
Arioka says that Xbox 360 in Europe has one called Triple Pack with Outland, From Dust, and Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Oh, how much does that go for? I mean, and is it region free?
That's fairly standard on 360, isn't it?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, it was with like some Japanese games, like a lot of the cave shooters are region free. But yeah, I would love to have Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I don't even know where I would begin to locate that.
Well, just look up, like, check on eBay.
Yeah, it's not on Amazon.
You just put in like Beyond Good and Evil HD on eBay and see what comes up.
I'm not finding it. Yeah, definitely not fine at.
Weird. Because you know what? That sounds familiar. I feel like I've seen it before.
Yeah, I never knew that. That's pretty awesome.
Outland was a pretty good game, too. It's kind of like a platforming Ikaruga.
Huh.
I have the PSN. And it's like a light and dark.
Erica says triple pack was region free.
Ah, well.
I wonder where, if you can find a link. Well, you probably can't drop a link in here. Well, if you find it, tell me where to search for it, because that's interesting.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
I feel like if I saw an Xbox copy of Beyond Good and Evil, I would be interested in getting that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the best one, I think. Or that, yeah, and well, the GameCube. I have the PS.
The GameCube version is not 480p.
But the Xbox version probably is.
It's got to be. Like, is there such a thing as Xbox games that don't have 480p?
Yeah.
I haven't
Final Fight Streetwise was 480i only. Of all games. Final Fight Streetwise.
Oh, Beyond Good and Evil Xbox is, like, cheap.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's, like, $12.
Maybe it's the GameCube version that they considered the best.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 480i. It can't be the best.
Oh, I guess I can't do that. I thought it was close enough. Jeez.
I need to rebuy Rayman 3, and I'm unsure what platform to get it for. I found conflicting information over whether the GameCube version supported 480p or not, because I can't remember. But that is the version that I did have. Corey thinks it's kind of funny. But to think about, but like, I'm just curious, is anyone else here, show of hands, during the PS2, GameCube, Xbox generation, was GameCube your multi-platform console of choice? Because it was for me. I mean, you know, I had a PS2 and a GameCube, and the only multi-platform game that I got on GameCube or that I got on PS2 was Time Splitters Future Perfect, because it had online support.
Yeah, I think it's weird.
I mean, the GameCube is, you know, generally produced, you know, better graphics results compared to the PS2. I mean, it was a more powerful system, so I generally assume back in the day, you know, it's kind of dumb in retrospect, but you know, IGN had a IGN Insider thing where, you know, you got exclusive content for.
Well, I remember that was like such a big deal. It's like they were the first one to kind of do like
they
a
were
pay.
The first one, yeah, and like a lot of their
is it still around?
And
if so, like who pays for it?
Yeah, well, you know, I the other day I tried to find one of their old. Actually, I think it may have been for Beyond Good and Evil. Actually, I tried to find one of their old. They had like head to head, like, you know, PS2 versus GameCube versus Xbox version comparisons. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find one of them the other day, and I couldn't find it. So I don't know. Maybe that stuff is still locked behind something. I have no idea. But anyway, they did. They had these. They had these head-to-heads, and you know, generally speaking, in most cases, it was, you know, Xbox version is better than GameCube. GameCube is better than PS2. Though there were cases where the GameCube version may have not been given a lot of care, and it was maybe slightly worse than the PS2 version.
Right.
Or the, you know, the Xbox version maybe had some more geometry or lighting effects, but the GameCube version ran at a better frame rate or something like that, you know. There were little discrepancies like that. Like, the one that I remember staying out in my mind was that Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, like, the prince had, like, he actually had, like, individual fingers in the Xbox version.
That's like the one you remember. You're like, son. Can't believe they get extra finger. They get real fingers.
Yeah, I want to say I remember them saying that, like, aside from some additional geometry, that the GameCube version had a number of advantages. Like, maybe it was ran smoother or something. There were some advantages to the GameCube version in that case. I think one of the biggest multi-platform games for the GameCube is Soul Calibur 2, because it's got Link. I mean, it's got the clear...
Yeah, that is, like, the... Like, that's the best character, yes.
Bonus character. Easily. And
he was, like, the best character in the game.
And, you know, it's interesting when you... I didn't realize you had the Xbox version of Soul Calibur 2. It blew my mind when you showed it to me when I was at your house. I had no idea Soul Calibur 2 had 720p mode on Xbox 360. No idea. I knew there was some fighting game on Xbox with 720p, but I thought it was one of the Dead or Alive games. But it looked like there wasn't a widescreen mode though
for
Xbox, and GameCube has 480p widescreen, so it could be the definitive version in more ways than one.
I mean, it might not have 720p, but it has...
I mean, is it really taking full advantage of that 720p, though? Like, I don't know. I didn't think it looked like that crazy good or anything. Oh, I didn't realize you were in the third world.
Yep. I beat the boss. And...
Oh, that's right. The boss. How many levels World 3 has?
It has 11.
Oh, wow.
And then 4 only has 7. I don't know. I could see myself beating this, like, committing to it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it would take that long.
But I gotta finish Tom B. Raider first.
Tom B. Raider? How is that?
It's great. It's really good.
How much have you played?
I wanted to play it some today, but I did not get an opportunity to play today.
You know, I actually played a game over the past couple of days that I thought was going to be a lot shorter than it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could have been. I think it could have been this episode.
Yeah, I don't know if that was. I feel like it was released for
$20. $20, yeah. I played Wolfenstein: The Old Blood, PS4 physical copy, which I've had for a while. I've been meaning to play for a while. I'm pretty sure that was released for $20, and I don't think the physical copy was released right away. I think there was definitely a question as to whether it would happen, if I recall correctly. It was good. I definitely liked, after the first couple of hours, I got more into it. I thought the start was a little unexciting.
Mm-hmm. Is it a direct sequel to the, or a prequel to the...
It's a direct prequel to The New Order.
Oh, does it end with, the getting in the plane or whatever?
Sort of. It implies it.
That's cool.
You meet up with the guy that's flying the plane, and you're riding into the airstrip, and you see some planes taking off. So, yeah, it leads directly into it, but it's, its own, totally self-contained story. Most of the first half of the game actually takes place in Castle Wolfenstein.
Really?
Which is not in, the New Order.
Huh. Check to see if it was released at 20.
Let's see.
I did not do very good on that level. I'm just going through, and I'm not worrying about collecting every single gem. Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Duh. I thought there was a gate.
I'm having a hard time finding information. It is currently $19.99 on Amazon, though.
Oh, this level has rolling pumpkins. I wonder if this level is different, if it's not...
Just today?
Yeah. Or these next couple days.
Yeah. Namco on the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. You know, I don't know a lot about what they were up to during during those days. I mean, obviously, there's Klonoa, too.
Yeah.
Can you think of much?
Yeah, I'm sure that if I look at what I have... Namco? Yeah, a lot of Namco museums.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, duh, Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on anything else, though. Oh, the Tales games, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I feel like we're maybe not the right people to talk about Namco in that generation. I played Tales of Symphonia, and that's the only Tales game I've ever played.
I wish I had held on my GameCube version of that. I guess it's the superior version.
It does not have 480p, though.
It doesn't. But it does have 60 frames per second battles, which the HD version does not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I always did hear that was kind of a little bit of a shoddy upgrade.
I'm sure, Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer 5 mm-hmm. was a launch game on the PS2.
Oh. You know, I've always been tempted by Ridge Racer games near the launch of systems.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's not a lot else to buy, but I got Ridge Racer with my original PSP, and I even got Ridge Racer on the DS, which I enjoyed both. I've never loved Ridge Racer. But it's always kind of yeah, I can play this, you know? I feel like I like it more than I like most, real car games.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's obviously not trying to be simmy in any way.
This is getting tough. It's not unmanageable, though. There we go. I think it'd be more difficult to. Oh, I found a secret passageway.
Ooh.
To have to like to complete this would be really tough, I think.
Oh yeah. Well, like it seems like a pretty reasonable but challenging beat.
Yeah, there's one like really strangely like budget-esque part about this game. There's a cutscene like almost immediately after the game starts, and it shows like this big dragon like eating your sister, like throwing up in the air and like opening his mouth, and she goes down to like his stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like completely silent. There's like no sound effects or anything to that entire like thing.
I didn't think about that because I remember seeing that scene when I played the game and thought it looked good.
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking, like, why isn't there... Oh, come on. Why is there no sound effects here? That's pretty bizarre.
But there's, like, a lot of, like, unique, like the visuals are very... There's a lot of care that went into the visuals in this game, I feel. Like, there's a lot of, you know, carefully made environments. And, like, all of, like, the transitions between light and dark, like, it's great animation.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
RGB is definitely coming for the Saturn and Dreamcast. You know, they're relatively high priorities in terms of the console-specific episodes. Maybe the highest priorities after I get Game Boy out.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's just no way either is happening this year. At this point, Saturn is relatively straightforward, but there are a lot of issues you can run into. Like it does have some sync weirdness, but I've not run into anything. But I've also not really played my Saturn a whole ton. Dreamcast is
gonna be complex.
Fairly complicated. Plus, we don't know the status of the RGB mod.
Right, or the HDMI mod, you mean?
Right, that's what I meant, our HDMI mod.
Oh, this is... It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I know that. I do feel like really bad that like after being like so consistent with like them last year.
Well, they got more complicated in some ways. I'm like so scared right now. Like I'll have a better idea for how long the Game Boy episode is gonna be in the next.
You're like for a minute. You're like earlier tonight. You're like I'm afraid it's gonna be like 40 minutes.
I am afraid it's gonna be like 40 minutes.
Our stuff just keeps on getting longer. We have,
yeah, but I mean, Game Boy is a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff, but I'm also trying to be like efficient about it because, like, especially with like the handheld options, I don't want to talk about them for too much longer than I really need to, because the reality is that most people are probably interested in the, you know, play on TV options, but I also want to be fair to the handheld options and, you know, be as thorough as possible. And I feel really good about what I've written for that so far. I feel like it's, you know, it's talking about what it needs to. It's basically going to be structured like it's going to be, you know, it's going to be handheld, you know, official handheld stuff. Then it's going to be play on TV options, and then it's going to be like mods. And that's kind of going to be the structure of it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, I do feel bad that, I mean, we were getting them out so consistently last year.
But we did a lot of other RGB episodes this year, too. There's been no Sega RGB episode this year.
That's true, there hasn't been. like all been Nintendo stuff.
I feel like after, well, there was also PlayStation.
That's true. That was really, like there's, January, there's though.
Man, you remember that coming out, and then you played Driver.
Oh yeah, on the stream because the episode came out like
an hour before the stream.
Yeah, so weird to think about. But that was like almost a year ago. I mean, I think that didn't N64 like turn a year old like this week, last week.
But man, yeah, the time is getting away from this year. When you said earlier that MAGFest is like 2 months away, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like at this point last year, it was like almost 4 months away.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, you're right.
This is like my favorite set of music in the game. I really love the music in this game. It's just like, it's very relaxing.
Chris Hulsbeck.
Yeah, and
I love that umlaut in his name.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, like another like the like there's like a little bit that I cut out about like the music switching back and forth. The other one is like Machiné Supreme or something like that. There's like the quote punk versions, unquote.
Oh.
And I think I explained this to you, and I didn't really get a chance to explain it in the script, is apparently like Gianna is like this, like it's a messed up individual. So like she's normal in the, what we would consider like the twisted world, but to her, like the really nice one and like Candy and all that stuff is like her twisted world. So that's why you get like the heavier music in the nicer, the more sunshiny levels.
Like where do you get that information? Cause it didn't really seem to be explained in the game.
Well, I mean, they talk about that in the Kickstarter video that like her world is like the twisted world for her is like the nice world. But so I kind of made that connection of like, oh, you know, like that, I guess that's why the
music is like harder.
Yeah. Am I like stuck here? What's going on?
So Chris Hulsbeck did the Dark World music.
Yes. Which is like technically like the light world is the dark world to her. Am I like stuck here? Is there, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that looks, it's pointing up. You've got to go up. I wonder if there's like a platform or something that didn't spawn.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
And you can turn off the, you can turn the music to just be like one style if you want. If you just like, huh. there's the punk style and the cute style. I mean,
the way it switches between them is pretty seamless. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I can't drop through here either. I feel like there's a, like an enemy or something that was supposed to spawn here. I better patch this.
Yeah, that's
I can do this. I can do this. Okay, I figured it out. Did people in the chat did you get what we were going for with like having stuff about like the game's patches and stuff? Because I wonder if that we there's a lot of comments saying like, oh, this is means nothing if you have to patch this stuff. And like we made it like a point to mention that, you know, when the games like have patches that will prevent it from possibly being playable in the future. That's another episode idea for this series, is versions that have all DLC and patches on disc.
Yeah. Oh, you can wall kick. Okay, I finally saw that. Can you wall kick any wall?
No. But sometimes she holds on to them. Like if there's like vines and stuff on it.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, it's useless if it's not patched. Well, you know, guess what? In most cases, like, it's not like the game is going to be, like, that bad without patches anyway. If you know, in the far-flung future, you really had to play it without patches, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like it's useless. Might have some problems, but... But, yeah, like, I mean, it's cool... It's just cool to like have like the complete version of the game on the disc, no patching. But I still don't think it's useless if it's not.
Right. I mean, I was gonna cover Republic before we found out that it was not that it had was over $20, and that one has like a gigantic patch that, like, I guess, makes it playable. Mm-hmm. Well, even like Ether 1, like the patch is like pretty serious for that. It's very possible. I mean, if I understood the wording correctly, the Ether 1 patch makes it so you could save your game. You might not be able to save your game.
Wow.
It might be incorrect.
Someone asked, what do you think of my number 9? Neither of us backed it, so I feel
like... I backed it.
Oh, you backed it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I am so whatever about the whole controversy surrounding it. You know, I think, you know, Inafune can, you know, be pretty dumb sometimes, but, you know, like, whatever. I'm relatively indifferent to him. But I mean, I think the game looks fine. Like I haven't played. I haven't even bought it, but I kind of plan to eventually. Like,
yeah, I actually, like, I backed it. I wanted a physical copy. Like I'm disappointed in the fact that we couldn't as backers get physical copies. Like there were, I mean, mm-hmm. I went with a physical copy at the time.
Yeah. I didn't back Ukulele because
they didn't have a physical copy.
They didn't say anything about physical copy in the Kickstarter, but I did back stuff like Shenmue 3 and Bloodstained because they said physical copy in the initial pitch. Now, recently, Ukulele, they said that it is getting a physical copy and they were going to work out a way for backers to get a physical copy. So that's cool. I didn't back it though because no physical copy, but I'm glad to hear that there will be some kind of physical copy. As far as I've not seen if there's been any updates on that though. I'd be very interested to know how that is being created, because I want one for sure. You know, I'm borrowing a Revo from the Game Boy Advance clone system right now, and for the episode, from borrowing it from a viewer, and just talking about Ukulele made me think of it. It has a flash card. It comes with a flash card, and the one that was sent to me had a bunch of stuff loaded onto it. And I tried Banjo-Kazooie Grunty's Revenge. It's like, it seems pretty good. Like,
you're gonna get it.
I mean, I was definitely like planning to get it sometime, because I've kind of thought of doing like an extension of the rare after Nintendo stuff, like after I finish with the Xbox games. Like, I want to look at like the Game Boy and DS games that Rare did, mm-hmm. Under Microsoft. And, I was kind of always had in the back of my mind, I'll probably do something like that someday and I'd like to get it. I mean, it's a cheap game, but it seems really good. Like, it sort of almost seems like a cross between, like, Banjo-Kazooie and Zelda.
Grunty's Revenge.
Grunty's Revenge, yep.
Oh, whoops. I just hit the microphone. Sorry about that, everybody. Is Grunty the villain in all the games?
Right, yeah. I mean, her name is Gruntilda, but Grunty is short for Gruntilda.
I see. So wouldn't the second game technically be, like, it was like the real Grunty's Revenge?
Well, the beginning of the game has her lackey, she's dead. Like, Banjo kills her.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and at the end of the first game, she's trapped under a rock. And
the second game, he comes back to finish the job.
Well, in the second game, she's a skeleton. Her sister's like, get her out from under the rock, and she's a skeleton. But in the GBA game, her lackey like builds a robot, and he like a Gruntilda robot, and takes it next to the boulder, and like her ghost transfers out from under there into the robot. So like there's like all some sort of strange continuity to this. And then I think in the Xbox game, I think she's a robot in that too. I don't remember what happens to her at the end of the second game, though. It's been too long. But yeah, it's like, so like Kazooie, like so once Grunty gets into the robot, she like captures Kazooie and then goes into like the distant past. And so like the little bit I played, like it's just Banjo by himself, and he like takes his backpack and like smashes enemies directly in front of him with his backpack. And so it's like, it's kind of like a sword in Zelda.
Really?
Yeah, but it's like it feels a lot better than I thought it would. Like, it seems really good. Like, I'm like legit kind of excited to play it now.
All right, well, it's 11. I think I'm did pretty good. I did, made it.
Oh, it's 11. I didn't realize it was 11.
I know. I'm pretty fast there. Not going to beat it tonight. But we can enjoy the pumpkins on screen.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I'll have to check back on Tuesday to see if it's...
You know, I see number four there is called the Alverlord.
Yeah, but if you notice, the game is actually called the Drekdowl's Cut. But I think that might have been like maybe it was DLC or something.
Oh, okay. So, because I just kind of made me think about how you in the Ori section, you talk about how like this evil owl has like thrown the balance out or whatever. Mm. And you didn't actually show the owl, I don't think.
Right. There's one shot, but it's like right after. There's one shot that I wanted to put in, but I decided not to because it's like a really cool part of the game.
Because I was trying to envision what an evil owl looks like, because that just seems like a random thing, like an evil owl. I don't think of owls as evil.
Yeah. Well, but if you notice, like I already switched over, but it says the Drekdowl's Cut, but on the box it says Director's Cut. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So I didn't even play any Halloween stuff. There's the Halloween Special 2012, Halloween Special 2013.
Wow.
And Halloween Special 2013 Hard Mode.
that's like cool, like how much there is to it. It's like they really supported the game.
Yeah. Well, there's a, so there's the unlockable modes. There's a tutorial. score attack, time attack, hardcore. There's no checkpoints to unlock earn stars for boss levels. And then there's uber hardcore, which is you die, you restart from level one. Beat every level in hardcore mode to unlock. I wonder if, I'm going to see if there's a trophy for it.
Jared White asks, was the next console we're coming for best video quality? It is Game Boy, which will...
Like, kind of the platform, really.
Yeah. That's a better way to put it. It's more getting the best picture out of your Game Boy games. Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. The next one after that will probably be either Saturn or PS2. Like, it kind of just depends on how our schedules are.
Right.
Like, if it's me, it's probably going to be PS2. If it's you, it's probably going to be Saturn. I feel like it should be Saturn. Like, we need to get Saturn. Saturn needs to happen. You just bought a couple of Saturn games for, like, really cheap the other day.
Yeah.
But they're some of the cheaper ones anyway.
Yeah, it's nothing amazing. It was like Virtua Fighter Kids. I mean, I've been trying to boost my library in preparation for that eventual episode.
Yeah. But you're going to borrow a bunch anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to have as many of my own as I possibly can, too. Mm-hmm.
The game, Frank Strasser, the Game Boy, should hopefully release sometime in late November. I'm not making a 100% promise on that, because it's too early to do that, but I will have an unhappy Thanksgiving if it's not done before then, so I really want to get it done before then. But our question, what's going to be the next episode? We honestly don't even know.
I'm going to
probably get something out while I'm, knee-deep in Game Boy.
Yeah, I have a couple of ideas that are fairly new ideas that I might do. They're not like game based so much as more like kind of a technical look at stuff. But I mean, I like really crammed for this episode. Like, remember last week you said, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. And it ended up being 35 minutes, like, which is like our longest episode.
Yeah. Oh, I went to Amazon for fun to see if anyone bought any of those 9 remaining Gianna sisters during the stream. And I was mistaken. I was looking at the European version.
Oh, okay.
They only has 9 left in stock, but there must be plenty of the. I really don't like this new layout Amazon has, like, for, like, displaying pictures. Like, it just looks bad. Like, I mean, it's fine if you, like, click on images, then you can, like, scroll through them, that looks fine. But just, like, the default view looks really bad.
But in terms of, like, the next episode, I think that I have a couple of ideas, but I'm going to just try, like, all I want to do, like, after this is I want to play through Tomb Raider, because, like, it's the first, like, game that I'm just, like, playing for enjoyment since finishing Trails of Cold Steel,
You've been hungry for something a little brisker.
Yeah, something's, like the sweet, like, between, like, 8 to 12 hours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think that I'll probably, like, I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to start thinking about what I'm going to do for the next episode. I'm going to try to just, like, get out more episodes just in general between now and Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's something I've been kind of thinking about. I have some ideas, but we'll see what happens. Try to see if I can be more consistent in general. It's like the holiday season is always, fun on YouTube, I think. So...
Yeah, so it's going to be, it's going to be all kinds of stuff, I think.
Yeah, it was a very GameSack-ish episode, and even more so when they released their new video today, and it was gaming on a budget.
Yeah, that was, we thought that was funny. It was like, oh, well, good thing we got our video with the word budget in it out first.
Yeah, but Joe did message me last night and said, he's like, I bought Ori and the Blind Forest at Best Buy.
someone asked if we had any tips for hooking up the Dreamcast. Their Tomy VGA cable is not working great with their LCD TV. You know, we use kind of a bit of a premium VGA cable that's or VGA box that's kind of overkill probably for most scenarios, because we use it to convert the VGA signal to 480p SCART. And it's kind of expensive, so it's probably overkill for you. But maybe some people in the chat maybe have some recommendations for you for a reliable but more not overkill VGA solution. If you're playing it directly into your TV, you probably don't need the Toro, which is what we have. Mm-hmm. But there's also like less expensive versions that the Bihar Bros make, like Kuro and Hanzo, and I don't really know.
The Kuro is the new one. That's like the the Kuro is that's the new one, right? RGB.
I really don't even know what the functions and prices are of each of those. But yeah, the Toro box is overkill for most people, I would say. But you know, it's what we recommend for especially for if you're dealing with the FrameMeister.
Right.
Or even a PVM.
Yeah.
But like, especially for FrameMeister, it's like a must.
Yeah, I think so. One of the episode ideas that I have that I might do next is a Dreamcast episode, which I don't think we have a Dreamcast episode period.
Wow.
On the channel, do we? That's never talked about the Dreamcast, I don't think.
Well, it kind of played into the Sega on Xbox episode.
Not really. I mean, I showed a couple of off-screen stuff on it.
Mm.
But we'll see. Hmm. I mean, it's an idea that I have. I don't know if it's going to be how it's going to come together yet.
That's kind of weird to think about. I mean, we've got, you know, like, I've got, like, some Dreamcast clips and there's some Dreamcast clips in, like, the CRT episode and the FrameMeister Alternatives episode.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but I mean, this one will be a little bit more Dreamcast-ish.
Dreamcast-ish? If that's the one you choose to do.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the one that I want to do. I feel like I can, whatever games I don't have that I want to show, I can easily get.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely more on the technical side of it.
Yeah. But who knows what the next one will be for sure. Once you get into it, you might be like, oh, this is too complicated to do for my next one. But maybe not.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's just, I see, like, this was just, like, so much pressure to get this one out. I mean, it's because I waited so long, I guess. I mean, you were here, and then I think I had stuff like last weekend. I mean, I really only edited the thing on like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and some on Friday, and on Friday morning. Because you didn't get me your stuff until...
I didn't get you my on-camera like Wednesday stuff. It was like too late Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, it was late enough for me to not be able to do anything with it.
Right, so it's crazy how fast you got that together. I wouldn't have got it together that fast.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're definitely doing the turbo. I mean, I feel like what we need to do, what we're focusing on right now, is we're getting the stuff that we currently have borrowed and stuff like that, like stuff that's like on our plate right now. We want to clear it out so that we can start focusing on these like the PC Engine. Then we could like start sourcing everything from different people. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to have things from multiple episodes.
My plate is thankfully going to be pretty cleared in terms of like big obligations once I'm done with Game Boy. But then there's going to be a couple of other things that I still need to get to, but you know, nothing is pressing.
Right. But I mean, I'm still waiting on that third super gun. So once that happens, yeah. You know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Oh man, man. Just like I cannot imagine literally ever running out of ideas.
I know, exactly. Jared White says, here's a thought of Game Gear episode. And, you know, I have four different Game Gears borrowed from Bob from Retro RGB for that episode.
Four? I didn't realize you had
four. There might be three in there. There's four different models in the thing.
I didn't get to see any of them while I was there.
I mean, they have like they're just like different colors so that I can show different ones, essentially. But I've had that box for a year.
Yeah, well, that's like about. But he just sent that stuff. He was like, "Hey, I need space. You guys can borrow this for. Right. I don't care how long it takes."
Yeah, like, but I mean, he's. I think he's ready for his Game Boy stuff back.
I'm sure he is because
he's like mentioning it in one of his weekly roundups. And whenever he talks about you on there, he always shows the picture of Tom Hanks now.
but I'm sure he wants it back because I feel bad because he sent his Game Boy EverDrive when he sent all that stuff. Like I don't really need this stuff right now, but I'm sure he's like dying to use his EverDrive again.
Yeah, probably.
But soon.
Soon.
Soon. Soon. It's almost all over. Well, I mean, I just have to survive November, but it's going to be
just
crazy.
You know, just work really hard on it and just think about Final Fantasy 15.
I'll do it for fun. Well, here's the thing. Like, over Thanksgiving break, I want to. This is going to be ambitious, but I'm going to try to like demolish. Like I'm like 14 hours into Lost Odyssey. I want to think. I want to just over Thanksgiving break. If I could just demolish that before Final Fantasy 15 comes out, I'll be very happy. So,
Reggie, I saw that picture. That would like that super gun you have is like in a briefcase type thing. Or it's like a equipment case, you know. You'd maybe carry like a camera in or something. Hmm. But he added a BNC to it to that super gun, and it made the picture look really good. I wonder if that would fix any of the issues I have. Maybe.
All right. Well, is that about do it?
Yeah, I think that's good for this week. I think. Well, everyone, thanks for watching the new episode and for hanging out tonight. And we will we'll see you next week. I don't know what we have planned for next stream. We'll have to get somebody to be on with us.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yep, we will. All right, have a good night, everybody.
Good night.